FM 93.5, 95.3.
Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, Fridays and Mondays from 7:30 to 8. This is Friday. It's always a pleasure to welcome Brother Johnny this morning live from Houston, Texas. Hey, Johnny.
TVJ, what's happening, baby?
And Mike Ditka is in a golf tournament. Mike, are you in Naples?
I'm in Naples. Yeah, we're playing a member guest right now. Go ahead. We'll do what we can do, and I'll put it down when I got to hit it, and I'll go right back when I don't have to hit it.
Just take your time, Coach. Take your time.
And, yeah, keep your head down and all those.
My partner only made a 45, 60-foot putt just now, so it's okay.
Woo! All right, you set it down. Only in America will you hear Mike Ditka live at his golf tournament, the member guest. Mike, just set the phone down when you need. Let me start with the U.S. response to the Quran burning. Will it fan the flames? Repeated apologies will be used by the Taliban to fan the flames and strengthen their position is what one particular think tank thinks. We've already apologized two times. The president comes out and apologizes. Nobody wanted to burn the Quran. It happened. It was a mistake. Should there be repeated apologies, or should we get through this thing?
That's ridiculous. It's just beyond words. Just another example of kind of struggling with what to do and where to go and what the correct way to behave internationally is. And we haven't done a very good job in the last few years with the American image, I don't think.
Well, you're being polite. It's gutless on our part. Gutless. Absolutely gutless. Two of our U.S. military people were killed by an Afghan soldier, and we're over there helping him in the war and funding them, and then we apologize to them for burning a Quran. I'm sorry. That's pathetic.
Yeah, well, Newt Gingrich came out and was very harsh against it yesterday and just said, you know what, this president repeatedly does the wrong things when it comes to situations like this, and there's nothing that he says that the Taliban can do to really get on his bad side. So he said he also should demand an apology from Karzai in Afghanistan for the killing of these two U.S. soldiers, and we're not doing that either. So again, This is raging around the country right now, whether or not the U.S. should continue. At some point, you got to say, we made a mistake. We're going to look into it. Next issue, we got to move on. And plus,
well, the thing, Steve, is you talk about, Mike's right about gutless, probably. And, you know, I was trying to be a little bit soft this morning, Steve. But the truth is, it's weak, too, Mike. We were just weak. And you can say, well, you know, we're not in charge of the world. We're not. But look what's happened when a clearly weak government gets in at the United States of America level. The entire Middle East is collapsing. It's just crumbling. And there's an example of a strong America without really doing that much. We don't have to be at war. We just have to be strong. And when we're perceived as weak, places that aren't at war fall apart.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's no use beating a dead horse right now. You know, this is the rhetoric that we get out of our president, and that's just what it is. I mean, you and I don't agree with it, but, you know, if he feels it's the right thing, I guess there's not a whole lot you can do about it.
All right,
I think you just have to look at results, too, Steve. It's like you try it. I mean, I'm open for things, but it's when things don't work and you keep doing it, that's what bothers me.
Well, and the president said that the reason they did this, the White House said the reason they did this is because they wanted to protect the U.S. soldiers. They wanted to protect our people that are over there. They're trying to defuse the situation, but it seems the more you talk about it, the more it inflames and more fans of flame, and that's the argument on the other side. All right, let's talk about Solyndra. We all remember Solyndra and the $550 million invested and lost by the U.S. government in this, clean energy plant. The Solyndra executives wanted bonuses. Everybody was outraged, and lo and behold, yesterday, very quietly, wasn't covered by very many, a judge approved the bonuses for the Solyndra executives. Is there any reason?
They've gotten bonuses.
What's that?
They'd gotten bonuses before, when they went bankrupt. And now they've gotten more bonuses because they need people there to help closed the place down, and they don't want them leaving, and that was the rationale for giving them more money. The whole thing was, what's the difference? I mean, Mike, you blow $500 million. I mean, it's all it was a big handout. I don't know. I mean, I guess it becomes more blatant when you officially give people who completely ran a company into the ground and blew $500 million when you give them bonuses. A little bit of a flag there, but I don't know. I'm not even surprised anymore, Mike. I'm just not even surprised.
It's like you call cover and you know what, because, I mean, You make one mistake and then you compound it by making a second one. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But then again, hey, that's what this is all about. I mean, this is such a politically correct agenda. It's pathetic. It really is. And the judge should be shot. I mean, I don't want to be that cruel, but he...
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And so that progresses. But again, Johnny's right. They did it because they were afraid the executives would leave. So I think, can't they shut this thing down with other people? It's just,
well, I mean, that's the whole thing probably. But there's actually, there's probably more rationale than it sounds like. The question is, what was the whole project in the first place? And how do you get that far deep into a project that had no chance from the start? Obviously, if they went down in 1 year, spending $500 million, something was fundamentally wrong. So,
all right, next item, and we're kind of recapping the week regarding issues we've talked about here on Connect FM. There's a gentleman out in New Hampshire who got home. His home had been burglarized. He was furious. He looked out the window, saw the perpetrator crawling out of his neighbor's window. He grabbed his gun, ran after him, fired a warning shot, and was arrested. He held the guy at bay. The police came, arrested both of them because he discharged his weapon, even though he shot it into the ground far left of him to hold him. There was a bunch of woods and forest in the back. He was about to get away. He held him at bay. People are calling him a hero. Others are saying that's reckless, and he's up for reckless conduct, and that could be 7 years in jail. He's never had a record.
Well, I don't know what to say, Mike. You can't even defend yourself anymore, I guess.
No, you're dealing with political correctness to the 19th degree or 100th degree, whatever you want to call it, and it gets a little embarrassing after a while. It really does.
I think that's really the word, Steve, embarrassing. Well, it's a shame. It's past outrage. It's past shock. It's just kind of shake your head. And what's next?
Well,
but that's ridiculous.
Mike says common sense doesn't really live here right now. We don't have a lot of common sense on some of these issues when you take a look at them. All right, this morning, Ryan Braun, first player to ever be sustained in a grievance when it comes to drug testing. Ryan Braun, the National League MVP for the Milwaukee Brewers, will now play at the start of the season and not have to serve a 50-game suspension. They did not feel comfortable with how the urine sample was handled.
Hey, I don't know about that one, but let him play, I guess. They have to do the process right, Steve, or else it gets out of hand. A lot of this stuff that you hear that sounds outrageous is really trying to protect from the system abusing people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, they're trying to not get carried away so that you get some sort of a Salem witch hunt going. And then it seems like there's a happy medium. But if they didn't do the process of the test correctly, then maybe you shouldn't count it. And so he gets away with one, maybe. I don't know.
Well, he said he's passed 28 tests, and that this one was tainted and it didn't count. But, boy, I tell you, his name was dragged through the mud. If he was innocent, it's still going to damage Ryan Braun. There's no question about it.
Well, that's part of being in the limelight. You know, it's a real crapshoot, especially these days.
All right, Mike, are you shooting your shot? Where are you on that golf course?
Well, I just hit a shot, but you wouldn't let that was so good.
All right, it's Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. Mike's in Naples at a golf tournament and kind enough to still be on the phone while he hits his golf shots. Brother Johnny in Houston.
That's a distraction, Steve. That'll throw you off, buddy.
All right, Johnny, you won an award. Can you announce that? Is that something we can talk about?
Boy, you know, I don't know. What did the VersaVar PR division tell you?
He didn't tell me not to do it. I won't be too specific except to say it's another major international award. Congratulations. And not surprised, but again, your new innovation really helps save divers' lives and certainly takes the risk out of something so dangerous and mitigates that a lot. And again, congratulations on yet another major award. We'll hear more details about it in the coming weeks. All right,
well, thanks, Stevie.
It's just head shaking, Johnny. Congratulations. Mikey won another major award. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, you know, Steve, it's fun to be able to try to solve some of these problems. And there's a lot more to go. There's a lot of things that still need to be figured out. So we're working the issues.
Speaking of which, 379 at local pumps, the gas prices are going crazy. The president said there's nothing a president can do, a single decision he can make. Is there?
Well, overnight, there really isn't a whole lot he can do. I mean, I was hearing people say they need to do something tomorrow about it. What are you going to do tomorrow exactly? I mean, you've got to have an energy program, and this country, this is not a Barack Obama thing, it's a United States thing, hasn't done very well with getting off of our dependence on oil. And so, as a result, when oil prices go up, it hits us pretty quick and pretty directly. And we've known this for at least our lifetime, Steve. So we're working on it. I mean, things are actually looking a little bit better. You've got a lot of oil up there in North Dakota in this sand, kind of sandy, frozen, but very attainable, and ungodly quantities of it. And so you've got solar. There are people working in the solar business that are recovering from the government investing $500 million in the competitor that went under. Now they got to crawl back into competitive business after putting up with that. But there are people in the solar industry who know what they're doing, and that's going to come on. You've got a lot of wind farms going up. So they're going up in Illinois and in Iowa, and I think we're working on it, but the president really can't do a whole lot. He shut drilling down here, which was a disaster. We've talked about that before. They're trying to get that going. The permitting process is extremely slow, and it's not helping at all. And that's something he could do.
Could they speed that up? Could they speed the?
Yes, they could do. They could speed that up. And but that again, that's a 6 month thing before you feel that. Mm-hmm. So. What he has done so far has helped put us where we are. Now I don't know what he can do overnight except hope the Iranians, you know, kind of back off. You know, that's where we've been for quite some time. We're trying to address it, and I think we're finally getting serious about it, too.
And the reason we don't open up everything and drill till we have plenty, and tell me, why don't we do that?
Well, there's all kinds of areas that are off limits around the Gulf of Mexico and near Florida. We haven't been able to drill, and just about when they were, you know, Obama was going to allow that when BP had their disaster. Well, that set everything back. And then Alaska, great place to get a lot of our oil. We can't touch it, and they're not allowed environmentally. That's why. And then the Canadians have oil ready to sell and just pipe down, and you heard what happens there? No way. Well, and then, of course, now it's like, oh, yeah, we didn't really care about that. Why are you blaming us? I mean, that's what...
Is it anti-oil, anti-potential disaster, or anti-capitalism?
It's hard to say. I think it's more just environmental zeal is what I'm thinking. And it's just hard to explain. I can't tell you why they're so adamant about getting energy for this country, but it's pretty real, and it's been very effective in holding us back. And as a result, we just get this oil from other places, and when things start get disrupted in the supply line, then we get in trouble fast. And so that's where we are.
All right, because so much of this is speculation, correct? So much of this is what might happen, what is happening, and so if something explodes in the Middle East further, you're going to see way higher gas prices, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, it's not all just speculation. It's ahead of the curve, definitely. The prices go up based on what's predicted to happen, but maybe $20. It's not like it's going to drop. If everything settled down, it'd get much lower than $75 or $80. So if it continues to tighten up and there's more supply disruptions, it's just going to keep going up. I mean, that's all there is to it. Hey, whoever pays, it's like an auction. You see some of these old art pictures. Mike, some of these art pictures are going for $50 million. It's just whoever wants to pay it. Well, oil is going to be the same way. If there's not enough of it, whoever pays the most for it is going to get it. So who wants to stay warm more? That's going to be the deal.
Well, I agree. Like I said, I don't know that we have a good energy policy. I'm sorry. I think you can't please everybody. You got to understand right now, when gas rises like that, there's a reason for it. I mean, I listen to thing last night, and I heard guys explain, well, if you do this and you do that, I don't know anything about that. But, my God, I mean, really, we have the reserves. We have the reserves. The Keystone Pipeline was not a bad idea. I mean, you know, we're not making good decisions about this. Now, we're talking about an economy that's floundering. You're talking about $5 a gallon gas, and that's basically what it's going to be.
No.
And the thing is, though, Steve, it takes years to develop these oil production sites. And so you just can't go along and then Iran gets in a tizzy and everything goes up and say, we got to do something, we got to do something. And then when it settles down, we just go right back to what we've always done. No. That's the problem. No. It's like we don't learn anything. And so, and again, this is an American deal. This is the way the Americans have been. We'll always take the simplest, easiest way today. There's nothing really wrong with that unless you start to see, you know, this isn't smart. We need to plan a little better for the future. Well, look at our Social Security. That's how we plan for this. We spent it all today. There's no money for, you know, Steve, you're on the, I told you about the Dalai Lama plan.
Yeah.
The Bill Murray Dalai Lama plan, which is there will be no money today. That's when the caddy, Bill Murray, was asking the Dalai Lama for a tip. There will be no money today, but on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. That's the plan.
I got that going for me.
But you got that going for you. But the truth is, we're just a little bit rash, maybe. Maybe we're a little brash here.
Yeah. Well, it's not working, and things going away and going crazy on us, and we just can't seem to get this area settled because it just, as you say, keeps going up and down, and we get urgent, and then we don't, and then we get urgent, and we don't, and we're in the same position we were 30 years ago. Not much has changed.
Well, Jimmy Carter tried, but they ran him out of town. He actually was right about the energy policy. He had a lot of things that he was lining up were probably things we should have done. And we started out and we went about, I don't know, Mike, if you remember that, but I think we went about 18 months. And then we just shut it down because the gas lines went away and the oil went down. OPEC dropped the price to about $8. And we just shut down every single shale program, solar program, went right back to the oil. It was like taking candy from a baby.
Yep. All right, we'll continue to track that. Final few minutes, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. The match play out in the desert. Mike, have you seen any of that?
I watched a little bit of it. I mean, it's interesting because a lot of those guys that got beat are pretty darn good players. I think it's a whole different format, and you understand you're not shooting for a score. You're playing hole by hole. So it's a whole different concept, and it's a different mental concept, too.
Yeah, and I tell you, playing 7,800 yards and hitting 9 irons from 195.
Oh, that's beyond logic. Now, you take a 4-iron and you hit it 230 yards. Come on.
Is the air that light in Phoenix, Johnny? I mean, has Arizona got the altitude? Because I can't believe these guys hit 9 irons 200 yards. It's nuts.
Well, I don't know if it's that much lighter, Steve. I think it is interesting. They can kind of go for it. They can't blow the whole match on a hole. So, I mean, they can lose a match on a hole, but they get a 19. It's just one hole.
Right, exactly.
But I thought, Mike, you know what? He still got the allure, and I think it's a shame for the tournament that Tiger got kicked out, because I think people were always checking in to see how Tiger's doing.
No question.
Well, still doing it.
I agree with you. I think a lot of people are pulling for Tiger right now. Guys, whether you like it or you don't, Tiger Woods is good for golf.
No doubt.
You know, it helps the viewings. It helps a lot of things. So he's good for golf. So, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, and you know what? When he looks over a putt, there's nobody helping or talking to him anymore like Stevie used to. And I think it's always good to have a guy chime in a little bit. But he's all by his lonesome out there, and he missed a lot of putts yesterday.
Mike, I don't know about that. I'm not sure I like it when Steve chimes in, I can tell you that. But it kind of throws me off. But
it's something to me, wouldn't you?
Well, all right, listen, Mike, we'll let you go. Good luck at your golf tournament. Member guests down in Naples, thanks for the minutes, and I know you're multitasking, but we'll talk to you on Monday. Good luck this weekend.
Bear down, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yep. Johnny, hold on. I got one more question about the oil I forgot to ask you.
Okey-doke.
Bill O'Reilly on Fox News has been pounding oil companies this week, saying the oil companies are making enough gas or manufacturing enough oil, and then it's refined into gasoline, but we're shipping it to China. Make them sell it here for less. Should we be getting into that business?
Well, it's not. I mean, again, that's the old common sense thing, and it seems like an easy thing to do. But look, all these barrels of oil that are produced have, you know, they're worth, what, $100 a barrel?
$108 this morning, $108.
But whatever they're worth, Steve, you've still got to sell it to somebody. And when you make any kind of a product, you have people out there looking to sell your product to someone, and you get a contract. And then when you produce your product, you deliver it. Well, that's what's happened. I mean, right now it's kind of like who gets oil from who. It's one big pot of oil globally, but there's oil crisscrossing going everywhere. It isn't necessarily the closest you are to the oil is who you're buying it from.
Right, but if China outbids us, they should get it. But should they at this point with Americans hurting the way it is?
Is that the new policy then? I mean, we can manage that if that's going to change continually. And then, how do you have a business where you can't sell it when somebody wakes up one morning and says, quit selling it. And then how are you going to sustain a plan to produce oil? Again, this takes years to develop these locations, so you just can't turn it on and off. It just doesn't work that way. You have to have a stream of delivery, and that's where O'Reilly's a little naive there. I don't know. He's usually pretty rational. I don't know what he thinks.
Well, he just thinks in this time that they should they make enough profits, which sounds weird for him to say, but they make enough profits and they should lower the price so that we can, as consumers, have a break this time. Because he said, you know, you could always put some sort of export tax on it to make them want to sell it more domestically and manage it that way. He thinks the president should get all the oil CEOs together and say, well, you got to sell it for less to us right now.
Well, let me ask you this, then. When we do get wind and solar online, and the oil goes to 38 and the oil companies are hurting, we got another cylinder situation. We need to give the oil companies money because they're losing money. Do we need to be prepared to pay them if they bet on a product that goes down?
Yeah.
You got to let the free enterprise system work. And I don't think that it would be smart to allow that kind of tinkering. Then you throw a big tax on them and they'll quit drilling. So it's really not that complicated.
The
president said,
right?
It was complicated, and yeah, there's a lot to it, but it's pretty simple. If they can make money, they're going to drill, and they're going to make as much money as they can make, just like you or I would. And that's the way we set up our. There's no better system that I've seen in order for us to live and breathe. I mean, that's a great way to do it. And there's always going to be these ups and downs. So I don't think you can suddenly change the rules, because then the game will change again. It won't really apply, and these guys will be out of business.
Right.
So that's the problem.
We'll leave it there. We'll talk again on Monday. Johnny, always a pleasure. Again, congratulations on another international award for your company and for your innovations. Always a pleasure. Thank you again.
Well, thanks for calling, Stevie J, and listen, stay warm up there.
Yeah, we will. Hey,
spring's coming.
This spring is around the corner. We'll talk on Monday. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Brother Johnny, live from Houston. Mike Ditka, live at his golf tournament in Naples, Florida. We've got to check in the latest Fox News update coming up in just a moment.
Okay.
And then more, including, hopefully, a good hearty laugh to relieve the stress.
Yes.
In our final half hour of the program, coming up with Bill Melbrook, political humorist and satirist. That will be coming up at 8:30. 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, brought to you by VersaBar, by Tim Mooney Ford in Tuscola, and by Menechi's Restaurant. Fox News next.